Imagine we somehow plucked Charles Darwin out of his 19th century home and placed him smack in the middle of modern-day Trafalgar Square, London. What would he make of it? After the initial brutal disorientation, this dissector of human strengths and foibles would start to observe. How can everything be so clean and orderly? Where is the soot, horse dung, squalor, gruel, stench, ailments? No fleas? And where are all the Oliver Twist-like urchins? Everyone seems so well-fed. In fact, way overfed. People look familiar, but also very different. Where did all these tall folks come from? And why are so many large but weak? Why are there so few kids and so many old people? And why do the white-haired folk appear so healthy? He would marvel at the variety of foods, halal carts, taco trucks, schnitzel stands, and rolling organic juice bars, but he would also wonder about the signs that read, "Please inform your server of any allergies." Then he would focus closer. Everyone looks clean and has teeth. Children can read and have free time to play. But why are adults running through Trafalgar Square wearing short pants and neon shoes? Why don't some of the old people have wrinkles? Why are many kids and elderly drawing deep breaths from inhalers? When you know what to look for, the symptoms of rapid evolution are all around us. In just 150 years, the human species has changed. We have redesigned our world and our bodies while at the same time becoming an ever more domesticated and smarter species. But taking control of our own evolution can also generate surprises. Symptoms of rapid evolution include explosions in autism, allergies, obesity, and a host of other changes, not all positive ones. Until relatively recently, only a minority of humans lived in the kind of poverty depicted in the works of Darwin's contemporary Charles Dickens, in cities where destitution, sickness, filth, and early death were commonplace. The majority of people lived much closer to a state of nature in the brutal world Darwin described in his most famous book, On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, where nature was the ruler and driver of evolution, and two key forces determined what survived and thrived on this planet: natural selection and random mutation. To recap Bio 101, natural selection means that you see only those species that adapted to a particular environment well enough to reproduce generation after generation. In other words, survival of the fittest. If a given group of creatures does not find enough food, fend off predators and diseases, and find suitable and healthy mates, then that species goes extinct. Random mutation means that the core genetic code, the DNA that underlies our biological traits, slowly varies through chance from generation to generation. Usually, these changes are benign and unnoticeable. Occasionally, significant changes help individuals reproduce and survive better than their ancestors. But sometimes, they can lead to horrible genetic diseases. If Darwin were to write A Tale of Two Centuries, to play again on his famous contemporary, he would describe vast and unrelenting change. For nearly 4 billion years, nature selected what lived and died. Life forms adapted by mutating randomly so that at least a few specimens sometimes hit the jackpot and survived as environments altered, pathogens evolved, new predators emerged, and food sources changed. The goal of this book is not to argue that Darwin was wrong, just that he is not as right anymore. Over the past century, as our species grew by billions, concentrated in cities, smartened, and domesticated itself and its surroundings, we became the fundamental driver of what lives and dies. This change is so radical that if Darwin were alive today, he would likely revise a significant part of his great works, because the basic logic of evolution has shifted away from capital N nature toward two new core drivers: unnatural selection, non-random mutation.